I got to tell this story, and you know, it's a great story for kids, and it's a great story for us because, you know me, I get nerdy about things, is where we see John, you know, what are these disciples doing up by the Sea of Galilee after the resurrection? Why are they there? John doesn't tell them to go there. He meets them in the upper room twice, right? They've seen him, and they know he's back. But then he kind of, you know how he does, he just disappears. He did it on the road to Emmaus in the book of Luke. So we see that connection that Jesus is consistent through the books, through time. The authors are different time, but they remember, and it's accurate. Isn't that kind of neat? Do you see how it lines up? But we see in Luke and in Mark and in Matthew, what does Jesus tell them to do? He says, go to Galilee. We're in Jerusalem now. Things are kind of crazy around here. They're in the killing mood. They're in the crucifying mood. Let's take it a little easy. Let's go back to where it's peaceful, where it's safe. Go up to Galilee and wait for me there. And so they follow along. They do what he says. And so they're there at the Sea of Galilee, and they're looking at each other like, what are we going to do now? What do you want to do? We're waiting on Jesus. Where is he? Well, what are we going to do? We used to be fishermen. We haven't fished in 3 years, but let's go fishing. So they get a boat, and they go out on the Sea of Galilee, and they don't catch any fish. Here's John 21. After this, Jesus revealed himself again to the disciples by the Sea of Tiberias, the Sea of Galilee, the Sea of Gennesaret, the great sea there. And he revealed himself in this way. He revealed himself to Simon Peter and to Thomas and to Nathanael of Cana. We saw him in chapter 1. Remember sitting under a fig tree? I'm not sitting under a fig tree. You know why? It ain't come yet. I ordered it a month ago. Still not here. I'm still mad. The Melbournes gave me a bunch of apple trees. Oh, they're great. And a peach tree. So they're out planted. And so there they are. And the sons of Zebedee were there. You know them. James and John. And the other two disciples were together. And Simon Peter said to them, let's go fishing. And they said, we'll go with you. And they went out and they got in the boat. But that night they caught nothing. They've done this before, haven't they? We've seen it in Luke. What chapter? Sean's favorite? 5, right? They went out fishing and they don't catch anything. And Jesus says, go back out and put your nets on the other side. And what does Peter say when the nets are full? Get away from me. I'm a sinful man. I'm a sinful man. Stay away from me. So this time, same kind of scenario. They're sitting in the boat and they're not catching anything. And just as day was breaking, Jesus is sitting on the shore. Yet the disciples didn't know it was him. It was kind of far. It's early morning, right? We saw this before in Luke, where the two people, the disciples walking with them on the road to Emmaus, they didn't recognize him. It's dark. It's far. He's not supposed to be there, right? Well, he's coming eventually. Jesus said to him, friends, he calls them children, do you have any fish? He knows. They don't. He said to them, put your nets on the other side. They've heard this before. Sometimes it takes a few times to understand Jesus, doesn't it? It takes 3 times. 3 times God told Peter, eat and kill. He said, nope, eat and kill. Nope. Eat anything you want. Nope. Come, put it on the right side of the boat and you'll find some. And so they cast it. And now they were not able to haul it in because of the large quantity of fish. The disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, it is the Lord. When Simon Peter heard it was the Lord, he got so excited he put on his outer garment, for he was stripped for work, and he threw himself into the sea. The other disciples came in on the boat, and they were dragging that full net of fish, and they were not far from land, about 100 yards off. And when they got out on the land, they saw a charcoal fire in place with fish laid upon it already and bread. And Jesus said to them, bring some of the fish that you have caught. So Simon Peter went aboard and he hauled the net ashore, and it was full of fish, 153 of them. And although there were many, the net was not torn. If you're going to tell a story that's a myth or a fable, you're going to count the number of fish to make it an important part. It's the details. We love that. Who was there on the beach? It was Simon and Nathanael. Remember the one from Cana, it says. And Thomas, the twin, he writes. He tells you who was there. It could just be a bunch of disciples. But there's detail, which means he was there, wasn't he? He's an eyewitness. I love this stuff. This stuff makes me giddy. Because they were there. They saw it. Don't think we didn't see it. We saw what we saw. And we're willing to die for it. Now the disciples asked, "Who are you?" Because they knew who it was. Who else would already have fish for them without fishing and have the bread already there? Breakfast is ready. And Jesus came and he took the bread and he gave it to them, and so with the fish. This was now the third time that Jesus revealed himself to disciples after he was raised from the dead. When they had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, he said, "Simon, son of John, Simon Bar-Jonah," he would have said, "do you love me more than these?" And Peter says, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Feed my lambs." He said to him a second time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter replied, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus said, "Tend my sheep." Then he said to him a third time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" And Peter was grieved because he said to him the third time, "Do you love me?" And he said to him, "Lord, you know everything and you know that I love you." And Jesus said, "Feed my sheep." I always taught this from one point of view. I've got to share this message once or twice, but not more than that. And we look at it. It's the parallel between when Peter was in the courtyard of the high priest, and there he denies Jesus three times, and Jesus and Peter see each other eye to eye, and the young girl says, "Do you know him? You were with him." He's like, "I don't know him." And then someone else, another servant. We see this three times, and so we always preach that it took three times to lose Peter, but it took three times to get him back. And I say this as I'm learning and as I listen to other commentaries and get different ideas. Do you think Peter didn't remember that day? It worried him sick, didn't it? You think he forgot what happened just a month ago in the garden, in that courtyard, when he said, "I don't know this guy"? You think that's sticking with him? Of course it is. Maybe it's something else here today. Maybe it's something else. So, all right, your insert, your homework, we'll read it now. But it says Greek versus this Greek word, right? I don't know what any either of them. We don't know what they are, right? But what it is, we know in the world there's different ways. They say an Eskimo has 40 different words for ice or snow. It's just snow, right? We know there's different types of love. I say, "I love you all." And you say, "Yeah." You know, like my friend Hank Passy, Colonel Hank Passy. I tell him every week, "I love you, Hank." And you know what he'd say? Uh-huh. All right? Fran, that's unrequited love. You know what I'm saying? But I knew he loved me. Don't worry about that. So we say, "I love you," right? And you all go, but if I say, "I love," you know how much I love my wife? Everyone's like, "That's a little different, isn't it?" I love my cats, but I don't love my cats like I like my wife. You know, we will spend some money on them, you know, but not wife money that we would spend, you know. I love them, but I don't love them. I love fried chicken, but not in place of my wife, right? So we know this, and this is, but other languages separate those different kinds of love. And we know that the love eros, that kind of love, that's the love between a husband and a wife. And what he's saying here, the first kind of love, and so I went to the Greek translations, which you all have, and you see it's all broken down, but I wanted you to see it for yourself. Because when you see the first time, when Jesus says, "Do you love me?" And you can see it's all squiggly there. And then when Simon replies, it's a different kind of love. So you can look at that later when you got time, because we're going to wrap this up. But you see, first Jesus says, "Do you love me, Peter? Do you love me?" The agape kind of love. It's, "Do you love me with your whole heart? Are you willing to give up everything for me?" And according to the translation, Simon, because John was there and he wrote what Peter said back. He didn't say, "I agape you love back too." He said, "I phileo love you." Like Philadelphia, the city of brotherly love. Anybody walk the streets of Philly? Did you feel the love? Not quite, but you get the gist. So there you. So he says, "Well, I really like you." Like in high school when I asked Renee Dinsmore out. "No, I kind of like you. I don't love you. I like you. He says, "I like you. I'm very fond of you." That's what you get. He's not quite there yet, is he? But if you love me, what you're going to do is you're going to feed my lambs. He's going to ask them a second time, and they're maybe this time they're kind of like walking along because he says, do you love me more than the rest of those? Let's compare it. Do you love me more than those? And they're kind of away, I would guess, and John's following as we see, and he's like, well, I love you a lot. I like you a lot. That's not what I'm asking you. That's why he's going to ask it again. Do you love me? And Peter says the same thing again. If you go to the translation, I like you a lot. But do you love me? Feed my sheep. The third time, Jesus changes it. If you go to the translation, now he says, do you? Well, you don't love me, but do you even like me for sure? And Peter says, yes, I do like you. And this is where it kind of ends, doesn't it? He doesn't quite get the commitment that day. Jesus wants the whole Peter, not just someone who likes being part of the church. And you know those great, he's number one right in the church. He's the foundation of the whole church. So he's the popular one. Everyone's going to gather around him. It's going to be neat being in church. He's going to be given the power to heal and to raise the dead. And it's a neat thing, but is he really loving Jesus? Does he really love him for who he is? He says, you know, when you were young, Peter, you used to dress yourself and you'd walk around wherever you wanted to go. But when you get old and you're going to stretch out your hand and someone's going to lead you, you're going to lose your independence and take you where you don't want to go. And he was saying this to say, this is the kind of death you're going to have. One day you're not going to be able to walk away from the cross. One day someone is going to lead you to the cross. And you're going to hang on it. He says, follow me. Peter turns and he sees the disciple whom Jesus loved. John's a little bit arrogant, isn't he? That's him. That's me. I'm the one he loved. I'm the one I laid his head against his breast at the supper. And Peter says, what about him? What about the other guy? Jesus says, if it is my will for him to remain until I come, what is that to you? You got a job to do. And I see this is me. This is Sean Herm. I compare myself. He's comparing himself, isn't he? I'm supposed to be the one out front following you, going to the cross, being crucified like you did. What about him? Is he going? He got crucified him too, right? What's he saying there? Don't you worry about him. John's going to be an old man. He's going to die in his sleep there in Ephesus. He's going to be over 100 years old. Don't you worry about him. Don't you compare yourself. Your life's not like him. I sometimes think, why can't I have Sundays off? Well, because we're in church. And that's a good thing, isn't it? What are we giving up? Not much. But sometimes you think I like to. But no, it's where I need to be. What do you compare yourself to the world, you know? This is a neat story, isn't it? We thought it was just him lifting up Peter, you know, just like he's, remember you failed me three times, but now you're not going to fail me anymore. But Peter still kind of fails because he doesn't quite get it yet. And this summer, if you're all going to be here and you don't go to Maine, just kidding, you can go to Maine, but we're going to cover the book of Acts. And what we do, when we turn the page, we're going to see what Peter does. He changes. He does come back. He does go out there, and he does live for Jesus, and he changes. He turns things around. But right here, in this beautiful moment, we see him, Jesus and Peter, and he's just a little short. And that's okay. Anyone else all the way there? Anyone else agape love Jesus, not just like him, phileo love him? Where are we? Are we a little short? Just a little. But there's going to be an opportunity to change. And I look at this, and it's not to put down Peter. It's just to say, look where he is. And he's going to be magnificent, isn't he? Wait till you see what Peter does next, right? He's going to change. He's going to get it. It's going to take a while. 1990, I listened to Pat Day preach about, from the back of a horse, how great Jesus was. And I'm like, that's a fraud. I hate when those athletes use Jesus. Now I get excited. The winner did it yesterday, didn't he? Praise Jesus first. I'm like, yes. Anytime the name gets mentioned, it's so exciting. There's no bad publicity on TV when someone mentions Jesus. And we're like, ah, too much Jesus. Never too much. Those Jesus Gets Me ads, and people say it costs $5 million to put it on during the Super Bowl, and the rights hated it, and the lefts hated it. But the name of Jesus was proclaimed during the Super Bowl. You get it? And that's, what? How much money is that worth? Who cares about money? Jesus got plenty, right? It's a neat thing, lifting up the name of Jesus. So Peter gets bashed all the time, doesn't he? Let's read Peter's own words and see how he writes. This is John's interpretation of him. We have Luke's interpretation, Matthew and Mark's, and everybody talks about Peter. Let's go to, what does Peter say? He tells everyone, be shepherds of God's flock that is under your care, watching over them, not because you must, but because you're willing, as God wants you to be, not pursuing dishonest gain, but eager to serve, not lording over those entrusted to you, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive a crown of glory that will never fade away. In the same way, you who are younger, submit yourselves to the elders. And all of you, clothe yourselves with humility toward one another, because God opposes the proud, but shows favor to the humble. Humble yourself, Peter says, therefore under God's mighty hand, that he may lift you up in due time. And cast all your anxiety on him, because he cares for you. Be alert and of sober mind. The enemy prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. God said that to who? To Cain outside the garden, didn't he? He said, Cain, be watchful. Sin is looking to devour you. And it did. Resist him. Stand firm in the faith, because you know that a family of believers throughout the world is undergoing the same sort of sufferings. And of the grace of God, who called you to his eternal glory in Christ, after you've suffered a little, will restore you and make you strong, firm, and steadfast. To him be the power forever and ever. Amen. I like to hear it from Peter's own voice, don't we? He turned it around. He sat at the beach having a great time at the beach party, and he's, do you love me? Ah, I like you a lot. You're all right. The fish was great. The bread was awesome, and you're giving me everything. It's hard to take, isn't it? Where are we in this walk? But Peter's going to turn it around. We're going to see that, all right? All right, you all going to be here all summer? I'm not. I'm going away for 3 weeks. But when we get back together, we will be covering the book of Acts this summer. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this story, for your word, for your loving kindness and your love. Do we love you? Do we love you? Do we love you? Feed my sheep. Tend my lambs. Feed my sheep. Yes, Lord, we love you. Are we ready to make that commitment? We are. We want to be in the green fields of heaven. We want to be with the choirs. We want to see you when you break open that scroll, because we will be there and we will see it with our own eyes. Our eyes will be wide open. Our hearts will be open to accept the glory that is heaven that comes from you, because you are so good to us. We are a grateful people. We come together to the table to break bread and to drink from the cup, to take the body and the blood, and know that we are saved. Amen.